Carson.
Good morning. Good morning, council.
Council, Mr. Bruno, you're here today.
Good morning, Your Honor.
And Mr. Scott, you're here. Do either of you have any questions before we begin?
I do not.
I do not.
Mr. Bruno, then you may approach and you may proceed.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Jason Bruno, here on behalf of Appellants Preserve the Sandhills LLC and Charlene Reiser McCormick. I have three of my mini client representatives in the audience today. We are here today asking the court to reverse the decision of the district court dismissing our lawsuit for lack of standing. We're also asking this court to vacate a conditional use permit issued by the Cherry County Board of Commissioners, and our reasoning is because two of those commissioners had a financial stake and a significant stake in the outcome of the vote to issue that CUP. In regard to the standing, we think my clients clearly had standing in this case on numerous avenues. Both the Cherry County local regulations and Nebraska Revised Statute Section 23-114.05 permit owners of property.
So you're not relying on what we typically call common law standing or injury in fact standing, is that correct? You're jumping over that and saying there's some other basis for standing. Am I understanding you correctly?
You're correct, certainly. We don't believe the injury in fact is necessary, but we certainly believe that Ms. Reiser McCormick has that injury in fact, which I'll discuss. But going to the basics, if you look at the statute that I cited, the owners of property and taxpayers have standing to challenge illegal or improper actions of the board, but also to file suit to ensure that county officials and county board members fulfill their duties. And that's exactly what we were doing here. I don't think you have to look very, very far past the district court's own preliminary orders in this case. The district court actually issued a temporary restraining order in our favor. And inherent is that in that is a finding that my clients would have suffered irreparable harm had that temporary restraining order not been issued. The district court ultimately changed its position on that, but I don't think it matters. My clients are apprised of many taxpayers, many landowners, many residents, and active participants in all of these proceedings related to the wind development that go back maybe a decade or more. If my clients do not have standing to challenge this, in this case, who does?
What does active participation opposing it, how does that get you? Draw me the direct line from that active participation argument to a conclusion that they have legal standing to appeal.
I think it's basic. In any type of these proceedings, the first things that happens is the board or the city council or any entity will issue public notice or issue notice to those impacted by the proceedings. And then you're going to have a public proceeding where everybody's going to show up and be able to object.
Are you treating it as a contested case? Are you suggesting it's a contested case, the cup application?
Sure, absolutely.
Have we ever said that a cup application is a contested case?
I don't believe so, but I don't believe there was ever any need to say that because I think that's inherent in the duty or in the allowance of judicial review of these type of activities. I mean, that's what happens. You have a proceeding before the county board, just like you would say in a county court. You have active participants. My clients went in front of the board. They lost. Well, what's the next step in that process? In this case, it's judicial review, just like it would be from a county court to a district court. It's judicial review. And to sit here and say, well, my clients all of a sudden can't participate.
You're not suggesting that there's judicial review of a CUP decision under the APA, under the contested case provisions, are you?
Yeah, I think I am. I don't know if I'm getting that clear, but I think Nebraska statute clearly allows the ability to contest a CUP. I don't
under the Administrative Procedure Act or some other statute.
Under some other statute.
Okay.
Yeah, but and to go back to your other question, if you want this special injury, Ms. Reiser McCormick has it in this case. There is undisputed testimony that
before you go there, yes. What is the other statute?
Sorry, I have it somewhere around here, but it's
23-114.03.
or something.
Correct. 23-1114 is one of the statutes I was referring to, and that's in addition to, I think I cited two separate regulations. But going to Ms.
Your opponents argue that your reliance on that statute is inconsistent with our decision in Egan versus Lancaster County. What's your response to that argument?
I don't agree with that, and I don't think it can be. But I also don't think the court needs to address any of these arguments, because if you go to Ms. Reiser McCormick, she has the direct injury that at least the district court was looking for, and that would resolve any of these issues. And the reason she does is because her property is located, and it actually adjoins a property where one of the wind turbines subject to the CUP application would be erected. And then we got an expert to analyze the impact on her property, and he has established and opined that as soon as that was done, there would be a chilling effect and a deterioration in the value of her property, and it would become less desirable the day after the CUP was issued than the day before as a direct result of the CUP.
I wanted to ask about that. This expert, you rely on this expert. I was a little unclear. Does the expert refer to this North LLC property that's adjacent to your client's property?
The expert is Eugene Graves. Part of his analysis refers to the North property and the lease and the CUP application related to the North property.
And is it the North property that has this potential easement, but no wind turbines are currently erected there, and there's no plans to erect them there?
I disagree with the second part. I think there are plans because that property was referenced specifically in the CUP application, and as Mr. Graves opined, it doesn't matter whether there's one actually erected or not. The market and fair market value will show that property has the potential to have one erected, so the damage has already been done. But again, this is a summary judgment motion. This is undisputed evidence. All we need to do is establish some unique injury, assuming we do, and we clearly did that.
What did Judge Kozacek rule with respect to the admissibility of your expert's testimony?
I think the judge basically weighed the credibility of that affidavit and didn't admit it. I think Judge Kozacek made it clear that he wasn't happy that he had to decide issues related to CUP. He thought that's better addressed by the legislature, and frankly, I think he created difficult burdens for us to meet and kind of raised the bar that was inconsistent with the case law.
The court received the affidavit into evidence, though. Is that correct?
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Was it offered? Was it received?
It was certainly offered. Whether it was received and admitted or not, I can't tell you. I don't think it was. I think Judge Kosacek's ultimate ruling was it lacked foundation, but it's not crystal clear to me.
What does our transcript tell us about whether the exhibit was received?
It doesn't tell us much. I mean, it's in the record. It's in the record. And I honestly don't think it was received, but it could have been. But if it was received, then I think reversal is clearly required because you don't have to address the issue of whether the court erred in not receiving it, which I think it was clear error not to receive it. But moving past the standing
requirement. One more question on that expert. Was he a certified or licensed appraiser?
No.
And if not, what impact, if any, does that have on the opinion that you're advancing?
It has zero. There are literally probably dozens of cases from this court that say you don't have to be a real estate appraiser to render an opinion related to property. I cited at least one in my brief. There are many others. All you have to do is establish your familiarity. Mr. Graves is specifically unique to render these opinions because he's a real estate developer and he's a broker, and he established adequate foundation to do so.
Well, Judge Kozacek said that expert's opinions were based on pure speculation. What's your response to that?
I think Judge Kozacek is not correct. I think if you read the affidavit and the foundation for it and everything that was reviewed upon, the methodology that was reviewed upon, the information that was reviewed upon, I don't think there's a basis. I think that's an abuse of discretion. I think what Judge Kozacek was doing was weighing the credibility of an expert, which he should not have been doing on summary judgment. So I think he should be reversed in that regard. The other point I want to make is you have a case here under a unique statute, a Nebraska Revised Statute 49-149905, which relates to abuse of official position. This court has never determined what that is. This argument was ignored by the appellees. It was ignored by Judge Kozacek. I think you clearly have that case here. You have two families that were heavily invested financially in the outcome of these proceedings. That should never happen. You have one of these commissioners who actually got a release of valuable benefits from his property prior to the vote. His wife was on the board. You have another family member whose family has been trying to get wind turbines in the Sandhills for a very long time. Five of her entities, who she said was her business partners, were heavily invested in this thing. 65,000 acres of property. If you don't see a conflict of interest under the statute, then there certainly is an abuse of official position here.
But the cup was issued, wasn't it? So aren't those issues moved?
No, because we asked that it be vacated based on an illegality. So we don't think it's moot. We think any time a board acts unlawfully, it's ultra vires, so we can come in and collaterally attack it any time. And I see that I'm out of time, so if anybody has any questions.
What is the specific relief you would seek in this appeal?
I would ask you to vacate the CUP. And there's really no harm in doing that, because in January we're going to have a new board where one of the commissioners, Commissioner Storer, got voted out. So we have less prejudice of that, of the bias and the unobjectivity that we had last time. And this time we might get a fair decision and an actual statement of factual findings to support this decision, which I'll talk about in the next appeal.
Before you sit down, you've suggested that the relief you're requesting in this case is to vacate the cup. I want to take you back to the operative complaint here, the amended complaint. Where in the four corners of that do we see anything related to that sort of a claim?
It was a
declaratory judgment action and a request for injunctive relief to prevent the voting.
Yeah, but I think we shifted it after the vote actually happened and made the request to vacate the CUP.
Where? Point me to it.
I can't offhand. I don't have the amended complaint, but I think that was in there. And I don't think the complaint was also dismissed on that basis, and it was notice pleading.
I'm just trying to focus in on the relief, because I was surprised to hear it.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Scott, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justices. My name is Eric Scott, and I am here appearing for Cherry County, Nebraska. May it please the court. I'd like to clear up one thing that counsel mentioned in his argument before I address that. When he is addressing Charlene Reiser McCormick's specific standing, he indicates that her property is located adjacent to where a wind turbine will be. If you look at the application, each wind turbine location contained in the application has a specific longitude and latitude. And I think that the record discloses that the nearest wind turbine to Ms. Reiser McCormick's property would be approximately 40 miles away rather than next door. This Cascade project is, according to the record, a unpermitted, there's no application, there's no permit, it doesn't exist as of today.
So let me ask you about that, because I'm curious, this expert that the appellants rely on, Mr. Graves, is he talking about the Cascade project in terms of this North LLC and its proximity to Ms. McCormick's property?
He's a little unclear, but I believe that he's talking about two things. I think he's talking about this Cascade project, this project that doesn't exist at this point and is just speculation. And the other thing he's talking about is an injury that he says theoretically would affect every person who owns property in Cherry County rather than a particularized injury. And I think they attempt to lever that into a particularized injury.
Okay.
So as we discuss this, first let's take a look at the Preserve the Sandhills standing. Again, Preserve the Sandhills has alleged no particularized injury of any sort. Preserve the Sandhills doesn't own property in Cherry County. They have no property interest. It's similar to the Grice case that the Nebraska Court of Appeals decided previously, where an organization of opponents attempted to say that they didn't need particularized injury. Moving on to Ms. Reiser McCormick, she has no standing because to have any standing, she'd need the particularized injury, which she does not possess. As I said before, she's more than 40 miles away. Now, Egan addresses that. In Egan, the complaining party was 12.7 miles away, and this court correctly found that that was too far to say that this person had a particularized injury. What we have is a complaint about an alleged general injury. Additionally, Preserve the Sand Hills makes a estoppel argument saying that they gained that, that they gained standing from estoppel. Well, as this court knows, in the Jacobs case, subject matter jurisdiction cannot be conferred on the basis.
Counsel, can I take you back
yes.
to Ms. McCormick and this expert? It seems like it comes down to whether or not the judge abused his discretion in excluding this affidavit. If there's going to be an issue of fact as to Ms. McCormick's standing, why did the judge not abuse his discretion on a summary judgment motion in excluding this affidavit?
Well, because the complaint about Charlene Reiser McCormick was that she has some sort of injury based on the fact that there is a wind tower that is 40 miles away, or that there is a wind tower that may or may not exist at some undefined time in the future. But what we do know is this complaint that she has, that her property is directly adjacent to a wind tower, is absolutely untrue in the sense that there's no application that says a wind tower will go here. There's no permit that says a wind tower will be allowed here. There's nothing that puts her in that. And I believe that the expert says that, and I believe that the district judge says this, that everyone in Cherry County would suffer from this.
Well, let me ask you this. If the affidavit was received, would the result change on summary judgment? Would Ms. McCormick have standing at least to get past summary judgment?
I don't believe so.
How come?
Well, because she has no particularized injury. There's no injury because there is no injurious act, namely the placement of a wind tower next to her property that she's attempting to complain of.
So I'm confused. Was the expert's opinion admitted or not?
I believe it was.
Does the Bill of Exceptions show that it was received?
I would have to look at that.
If it does show that it was received, would that answer the question?
If it does show that it was received, it would in fact answer the question, yes. And I believe it was.
And then the issue would be whether the judge found that it created standing or whether there was a genuine issue of dispute.
Yes.
And what did the judge find in that regard?
The judge found that there was no genuine issue of material fact. Additionally, we look at, as the court addressed in opening arguments, the mootness. The CUP permit has already been voted on. The relief that the appellants have asked for is now moot because that the vote has already occurred. And they do have a remedy, namely our next case. They've effected an appeal, and they're here today on that appeal. There's no legal cognizable interest. The purpose of their original complaint was an injunction, an attempt to enjoin or stop. The vote occurred, and now they've appealed that. Finally, I'd like to address the issue of the conflict. I think it's pretty clear that under 49.1401 and the following statutes, that there's two things. One, that no conflict legally existed. Those are all too remote or don't fit the particular statutory scheme to say that there's a conflict. And I think that what the appellants are attempting to do here today is to ask this court to act as a super legislature and set aside the public policy determinations that the legislature has already made regarding remoteness of conflict and substitute in their own arguments there. Additionally, I take umbrage at the business partner argument that counsel made. I think that when you examine that, that is solely based on a campaign flyer which features a great picture from the Kenya Journal in the late 80s of Ms. Store and her family, very highly stylized. It's a great picture, but I think that her deposition discloses that she is the partner, she is a partner in a family ranch with her husband, not the people who appear on the campaign piece of art, namely her parents, her brothers, and her sister.
Did these two commissioners ask for an opinion from Accountability and Disclosure or some agency governing this, and it was the opinion that they had no conflict? Does that have any bearing on all of this?
Yes, they did ask for the informal opinion through the executive director as provided by the statute and the rules and regulations that are promulgated by NDAC. The Nebraska Accountability and Disclosure Commission also determined through that informal opinion that no conflict existed. Additionally, there is the statutory provision that if a conflict existed, that they could vote if it would require the if it would require a vote in order for the business of the county to be conducted. Now, I'm not conceding at all that any sort of conflict existed, because I think it's clear that it did not, that it's either too remote or it doesn't fit under the statutory scheme. But if a conflict existed, then they could still go ahead and vote as pursuant to the statutes that we have currently in that regard.
So your position is by seeking that advisory opinion, that's an absolute defense to any allegation that there was a conflict of interest?
Yes, that is a defense, yes. If there's nothing else, I would thank the court.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
No, Your Honor.
There is no time for rebuttal. Mr. Bruno, but we have a second case.